We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a really good show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with Marla Schloss, the organizer for the Hazon Jewish Food Festival, which will be taking place next Sunday, downtown at Eastern Market. And yours truly will be there. We've got to come by and check out the Jewish Ferndale table next week. We've got a table. We've got butterflies and pollinators, that's our thing. It's not really exactly Jewish, but it's not Jewish because we like environmentalism. So we'll be there next week, and we're going to talk about it with her. We've got lots of wonderful music throughout the show. The portion of the week is the portion of Ki Tetze. For those of you who remember, for the last 23 years, it is my bar mitzvah parsha. And it's in Deuteronomy 21 and following, a very interesting story all the way at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Terms for the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza were released. There are six main points. First of all, a comprehensive ceasefire. The reopening of Gaza's border crossings and expansions of the permitted fishing zones, medical and humanitarian assistance, a resolution to the issue of captive soldiers, missing civilians, and prisoners, and a broad reconstruction of Gaza's infrastructure with foreign funding and discussions about sea and airports in Gaza. Stay tuned for further developments. Border police officers discovered two pipe bombs that had been thrown into Rachel's tomb in Bethlehem. No one was injured as the sappers got them before they could do any damage. Israel will deduct over $1 million shekels from the Palestinian Authority's tax revenues, which Israel collects on behalf of the PA. The money will cover the medical expenses of Palestinian collaborators who were tortured by the PA. How's that one for rubbing it right in their noses? And finally, President Donald Trump signed a defense spending bill which codifies a 10-year memorandum of understanding with Israel negotiated during the Obama administration. We talked about this when it was just a bill. The bill includes $500 million for U.S.-Israel missile defense cooperation and up to $50 million for U.S.-Israel cooperation to detect enemy tunnels into Israel. And this is on top of the over $3 billion that the United States sends in defense aid. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online, Marla Schloss is the director, coordinator, and everything else, chief cook and bottle washer of the Hazon Food Festival coming up next Sunday. How are you, Marla?
Oh, I'm fabulous.
Good to hear.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking it. I know this is like the crunch time now. You've got like 7 days and counting till this. So since we mentioned the food festival, let's talk about that first. It's coming up next week. Eastern Market, what's going on? Give us the who, what, where, when, and why, and how.
So it is the largest Jewish event that the organization Hazon does. It is also the largest event that Michigan does, Jewish-related. It is an event that really brings together not just the Jewish community, but it brings together, and part of our really what we do with Hazon is bringing the suburban Jews into the city, which is kind of like back to our home in a way, because we all really came to Detroit initially. And we come together with justice organizations, Jewish organizations, local entrepreneurs supporting them. It really is all about learning and celebrating what we do together, taking care of the environment, being healthier in our choices of what we eat, learning to make a difference. And this is really an amazing time because, truthfully, now more than ever, we need to think about the environment and how we're taking care of the earth. And it really is something very Jewish, you know, our care for the earth and our care for the land. And so we have this event that last year we had 6,500 people, previous year 5,000. As our third year, I'm fully expecting it to be so amazingly great and large just based on the excitement that I'm hearing from people. We presently have, just to mention, we have 65 Jewish organizations that are represented as sponsors at this festival, which is just crazy. I mean, we have a wait list we have everyone from, you know, Reconstruction to Beis Chabad. We run the gamut. We just feel everybody must be welcome and everybody must be included. It's held at Eastern Market. It is Sunday, the 26th, which is a week from this Sunday. It's 11 till 4. We have an amazing, we take up Shed 5, filled with tables, with people that are gathering and representing their organizations and what they do. We have Shed 6 also. We have music throughout the day, amazing rundown of people, anything from Kids Klez to Molly Wap representing, you know, the African-American community. We have a speaker tent, and this year we're trying something new, which we're very excited about. We're calling it like our 10-minute tent because there are 12 different speakers speaking on anything from award-winning chicken soup. We have somebody who, has won like 4 years in a competition, to Rosie Schlossel, who is talking about easy veggie stuffed cabbage. And then we also have very important issues like the Farm Bill, how this has happened in the state of Michigan, what's going on, because we're very supportive of our local growers in the city, building Detroit's B Highway, you know, how the hospitals, Henry Ford especially, how they are working to be a hub for health and well-being. We have someone speaking about plant-based nutrition, Jewish law and what it says about factory farming. We have a spiritual environmentalist who walked basically from Boston to Michigan, and he's going to be speaking, and it's only 10 minutes, and then a five-minute Q&A, and then they're out, and then the next person comes in. So
that's very good for people with ADD.
Say that again?
That's very good for people with ADD. 10 minutes in and out, and then, you know, we're the cushion generation.
For those people who have fear of missing out, which is a common thing, that they don't feel like if I am in this tent for 30 minutes or more, what am I missing? So you can go in, you can spend as much time, hear as many speakers. We also have, it's very exciting, each year we bring in renowned chefs who are book authors, recipe book authors, and they do a demo in the chef kitchen. And the nice thing about it is the VOD supervises this kitchen. So, again, inclusive of everybody, that anyone who participates in this, and it only holds 70 people per session, anyone who participates and eat if they're concerned about kashrut. And, you know, I do want to say that it's not, and this is important to say, that this kitchen is kashrut for this festival. But outside of the festival, you know, we have Zingerman's represented. It's not a kosher establishment, but at the festival, what they're making will be. But otherwise, the entire festival is really, it's vegetarian. We do have some kosher. The kosher is identified by, we have these amazing large blue balloons with whoever the hefsher, whoever they are hefshered with. So it's represented for people who are looking for that. And, but again, you know, it's not that we don't consider eating meat. It's just that at the festival, we make it that it's vegetarian. So
that would be easier for everybody, and meat, you certainly eat USDA and stuff. Okay, so tell us, you mentioned chefs. Last year, you had some pretty famous chefs. Who's up in the line for the chefs' demos this year?
So we have our first chef, so it starts at 11:30, and our first chef, her name is Emily Pastor, and she's, her talk is about Jewish preserving and turning matbucha into shakshuka is her topic, and she is all about preserving, which is such an important thing to think about, that because we do encourage people sourcing locally their food. And, of course, at certain times of year, everything isn't available. So if we actually have a feel for that and we understand and learn this, that what we can grow or get a hold of now can be preserved so it's available to us in February when it actually is not growing season. Another author is Paula Scheuer, and she's going to be talking about, really, her focus is on Rosh Hashanah food and how to lighten it up. You know, she referred to it as how to make sure it's not dangerous, but dangerous meaning we're caring about our bodies and we're caring, you know, about what we put in our bodies. And so her recipe has that focus on making better choices in what we use to prepare our meals. And then lastly, we have Sarah Molinaro, who is the principal instructor from what is called BAKE. It's their baking school at Zingerman's in Ann Arbor. And her topic is, she's calling it Noodling About Strudeling. And this is techniques and tips for making strudel. So, again, you know, it's just something. I mean, when she described to me what's involved with strudeling, it was just strudeling. Now I'm making it a verb. But it just sounded so fun.
Indeed. Okay, so this sounds like a lot going on. Sunday's a family day. What's going on at the Zone Food Festival for kids?
So we have an amazing area set up in Shed 5. This year we're calling it, last year we had a family tent. This year we're calling it a family pavilion, because not only do we have a tent where we've hired a Waldorf instructor to have three different activities with kids. One is it's actually grinding wheat, and they're going to see the process, which is just like amazing. We truly support Waldorf schools and how they teach, and the fact that everything they do in their school, when they're having cookies or whatever for kids, they actually make it from this process of starting from grinding their own wheat, which is just not something that most of us are familiar with. So they're going to have this as an activity in the family tent. She is also going to be working with the kids who are going to make friendship bracelets, but they're going to actually see, we've made sure that in terms of what they will see in this environment, they're going to see this is what the cotton looks like when it's growing, and this is what it looks like when it's removed from the plant. And then, of course, eventually leading to the beautiful cotton that they're going to make the bracelets from. They're actually weaving it on branches of trees. That's the loom that they're going to be using. So the kids will be working together on that. And lastly, we're going to be, they're doing some origami. They're going to create a hat. And there's a little bit of focus on beads and beeswax because we're only using beeswax crayons, which is just really interesting and very different than what people are used to because, again, our focus is on sustainability and caring for the environment and not being wasteful. And all of these, you know, make a point of teaching this. This family tent, by the way, just so everyone knows, is set up in a way that it is almost like an oasis from the festival. We have beautiful materials and fabrics hanging from the tent sides. We have carpets all over, pillows. It's just, you know, somebody said to me, oh my God, I hope you have the family tent again because it was just a chance for our kids to go in. We have books about the environment and farming that are geared to young kids. And parents go in there and like, you know what? I need a little bit of a break because it's really busy in the festival. And they go in this space, and it's just, like I said, an oasis. And there's also a space for nursing mothers. So we have a separation there for people to feel comfortable to go, you know, take care of things without the rush. Now, what makes this a pavilion is we have three tabling groups and three groups that are in 10 by 10 tents, and they circle this area. And Rabbi, as you know, Jewish Ferndale is one of these. We hand-selected these groups because what their activity is strongly focused for families and kids. And that's what we wanted this to be all about, that the families can go in there, the activities are kid-related, and it's going to be beautiful. It's just going to be beautiful, this area. And I'm just, you know, again, you could share what you're doing at your tent because I just, you know, I almost feel like I need a family tent just for Jewish Ferndale in some ways. Get enough space to fill what you're doing.
Yes, we need two spaces. Yes, I'm putting my plug right in, Marla. 10 by 10 is not enough. We need a 20 by 30.
Yeah, okay, next year. But we're giving you the tables and chairs, but yeah, next year that may be something we have to think about seriously. But
let me just jump in. What we're doing is actually, I can't believe that we're actually doing it. Our big thing is because we're in Ferndale, and Ferndale is right at the center of Southeast Michigan's migratory butterfly highway. And we planted a butterfly garden, and I was actually teaching a class this week at Jewish Ferndale in the backyard, and I saw six monarch butterflies just fly right by. So we're doing it. We actually had a parpar party this summer. Parpar is Hebrew for butterfly, and it's really cool because we had a parpar butterfly party. Yes. So we're going to be doing that. We have Cranbrook coming, and they have this Cranbrook Museum of Science. They're going to be presenting at the stages of life of a butterfly with all kinds of specimens. This is really cool, from like through egg, through poo-poo, through poopaw, chrysalis, etc. And then we also have people will be able to come and decorate these wooden cutouts that we have, which will be placed in the butterfly garden. And in addition to that, so then we have a Shabbos table, and we'll be talking about what Jewish Ferndale is doing. And we have at Jewish Ferndale, we have part of the spaces lent out to Mindy, who does massages by Mindy. So anybody who comes by will get a free sample massage from Mindy. And everybody's welcome to come by and say hello and say, I heard it on the Jewish Hour. So, okay. So this sounds all really pretty wonderful. This is all pretty frenetic and hectic. And how are you going to squeeze all this into 5 hours? It's just really pretty amazing.
And you mentioned ADD, and that is. But I do want to say, I don't want to leave out the fact that we have a couple free tours for people to sign up for to take people around Eastern Market. And we also have 5 food trucks, and Chef Terry is one of them. And but unbelievable, again, all vegetarian. And we have 9 food vendors.
So there'll hopefully be enough to eat for the throngs and masses of humanity.
Say, I'm sorry.
I said, hopefully there will be enough food for the throngs and masses of humanity.
Oh, my God. That's, you know, it's the thing to think about is, you know, that, you know, it's not just what we eat. I mean, it's the choices that we make and we're, you know, and that's really, you know, we call it the Michigan Jewish Food Festival. And there is that thought about, you know, well, the key word is food, so everything should be food. So in many ways it is, but it's how we source our food. And it could be, you know, seeing, you know, who are our local entrepreneurs who have created businesses, which we really encourage people to go to and support, because they're dealing with products that they are, in many cases, either sourcing in their own farms or they're sourcing locally. We're not dealing with insecticides. We're not dealing with, I mean, we really encourage the organic and what is good. And, you know, and I think we do a great job in Hazone with that, you know, just getting people to understand that there's a new way of thinking.
Okay, let me just, if you're just joining us, or if you've heard us the whole time and you've forgotten already, we're on the phone with Marla Schluss from Hazone Detroit. We're talking about the upcoming next Sunday's food festival down at Eastern Market from 11 to 4 at Shed 5 and Shed 6. And so this is be the third one. Have you seen, I'm trying to remember, you were involved with the first two. I know you were there last year. Were you there 2 years ago also? Okay, so you've done already two such festivals, and lots of people have come to them. Have you seen any repercussions from it, any like development, any attitudinal change within the Jewish community because of the food festival, Marla?
So the first thing I'm going to say is that one of the things I'm dealing with every day for the past month is people contacting me to find out how they can have a table, how they can be involved. And, you know, which, by the way, being involved, we really, really would like people to go to Hazone Detroit, hazone.org, but Hazone Detroit, and please get information about the festival. But in addition, click the tab about volunteering. We would love to have people involved and volunteer. We have a site that you actually go to and you see what is available and you pick when you can work. And, you know, it's like my daughter put on Facebook. She's like, yeah, we're doing it because we get a free T-shirt, you know. But, I mean, it's just you're a part of this amazing event. So it's amazing just how we're growing. I mean, the first year we had 29 Jewish organizations involved. This year I have 65. And you know how many more we could, you know, reach out to, but there's only so much space. What I'm seeing, especially related to Hazone and the Food Festival, is more and more organizations are actually learning about, really, can I say, like, there are other ways to be Jewish. In other words, you're familiar with what it is to be Jewish, but opening up to, wow, you know, are there things, can we actually learn about what is spiritual about caring about the environment? What is, you know, we can learn to go to the festival. You see, we have a deep connection to Israel, and we have a connection to the Arava bike ride. We support just, I mean, Rabbi, as you know, one of the things that we really highlight at the festival, which more and more organizations want a piece of and a part of, is our seal of sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And our seal of sustainability is, you know, we have 13 right now organizations involved in this, you being one of them. And we are funded to provide grants to organizations who are interested basically in looking to make improvements. It could be anything from no longer using styrofoam at their kiddishes or greening their kiddishes, or changing to solar power in their building, or adding gardens and using it as a teaching tool in their schools. You know,
yeah, we got rid of disposables. We got rid of disposables and bought cookware with our grant this year, so that we are lessening our carbon footprint and our waste. All thanks to Hazon. Thank you so much.
And you and you know, you are just a great example of the changes that people are making. And I would say, so we have been in Detroit. This is, you know, 4 years, and to basically, you know, realize that in this period, a short period of time, and the organization is 18 years old, by the way, our national office is in New York, as we are the Jewish Lab for Sustainability, that is how we refer to ourselves, led by Nigel Savage, who founded this. But in that 4 years, we came into this community, and it was kind of like the Jewish community really didn't have a focus on, you know, change and realizing what is earth-based and the connection to the Torah. And so now all of a sudden, you know, in the 4 years, we've had so many educational programs, you know, connecting people to from the city to Detroit. Our involvement at the Oakland Avenue Farm is unbelievable. In the city, we work in partnership with our African-American community, which, of course, everyone knows that Detroit really was the hub for all of us working together at one point, especially in this Oakland Avenue area. That was the Jewish community, and that still has many structures that are from when we were there and we came from Europe. And we work there. We have staff that work the farm in partnership with, again, you know, the staff at the Oakland Avenue, and Jerry Ann Hebron, who is the person who we are very connected to, and her fabulous work that she does. But we are so, you know, one of the things, you know, we say our mission is we work to create a healthier, more sustainable community in the Jewish world and a healthier, more sustainable world for all. And this is what we do. We have 5 members of our staff, and we have outdoor events. We just had down on the river up north, where we had, you know, a group of people who went, signed up. It was a biking event. We have Oakland Avenue. We have Shabbat every summer on the farm. We have actually an event coming up very soon, which is really, you know, an opportunity where people are going to. It's an event where there's going to be discussion about Sukkot and what is the connection between who we are and the holidays?
Cool.
You know, again, bringing people together to learn. You know, so I'm gonna go back, however, to the seal sustainability. You have a green team. Everybody who commits to being a member, which is a sign-up process, and this involves having a green team, which is clergy and members, and they make decisions about what would we like to do that really is going to be helpful to the environment, and it's also something that will make changes in our organization.
Got it.
You know, and one thing, aside from Jewish Ferndale, we just got a note from Tamarack Camps. So we really made a difference at the camp. They now have a farm, and their farm is an educational piece for kids who go to camp. And it really, I mean, part of it is a sensory garden, totally helpful to kids who have difficulties, that they have an area that they can learn, and it's separated and it's peaceful. But aside from that, it's just a kid seeing, you know, really in some ways taking us back to our roots again, that we were farmers.
Okay, this is going to do it for us. I'm just delighted. Give us, please, the details again for the upcoming event next week.
So the upcoming event is the Michigan Jewish Food Festival. It is Sunday, August 26th. It is 11 till 4 o'clock. Parking is all around that area. And for people, they should know that we will have a drop-off spot, a little tent. So if somebody wants to drop someone off who they would feel better being closer and then going to park their car, we have a guest drop-off area right there. You'll see it. There will be signs directing people.
And what if people want to volunteer? Yeah. How would they go about doing that?
And if people want to volunteer, which I would so strongly recommend and love, please go to Hazone. I would go to Hazone Detroit. And it will connect you directly to the Michigan Jewish Food Festival. And, or you can type that in, and there is a line there that says to volunteer, and you just click that, and it puts you right on the volunteer site.
Wonderful.
And there are tabs about everything that we are doing. I just, like I said, I'm so deep in this right now, as everyone in our office is. Sue Salinger, the director, is really the leader, and I'm going to say the everything spiritual, the wisdom behind everything that we do in this office, and unbelievable. I mean, she's the go-to person for everything you learn and do, and she will be there, and I will be there, and everyone's working very hard, and it's just an exciting day. And I am going to also mention a plug that Hazone, we are very connected to, and you can look this up, Isabella Friedman Center. And this is, many of our programs are held there. People have weddings and bar mitzvahs and so on, but it's a beautiful place with a farm. And this is also Hazone. And it's our conference center, I'm going to call it, where, again, we provide scholarships for people to look and see what's going on. And we'd love to go to this. We'd love to go to, Passover in the desert. What an amazing experience. Just throwing things out there. We want people involved. Please friend us on Facebook also. If you go on Facebook and type in Hazone, every day we're connecting to somebody who is presenting at the festival. You can see everything. We've got pictures. We're shooting them out on Instagram. Great coverage, great event, Rabbi. Look for our recycle containers. You know, we're not just trashing things. We will have everything divided up because composting is so important to us, and recycling is so important. So I think that it's just an entirely amazing learning experience. Anything you're involved in with Hazone and the Food Festival is transformative.
Okay, that's going to do it. Again, the Food Festival is next Sunday, 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock at Eastern Market, Shed 5, Shed 6. Want more information? It's HazoneDetroit.com. And Thank you so much, Marla Schloss, for filling us in on all this wonderful stuff that you're doing.
Oh, can't wait to see you, Rabbi, and look forward to seeing everybody who comes.
Okay.
Please come by the Hazon booth.
Okay.
Great place to stop.
Great. Thank you so much. We're going to take,
all right.
We're gonna take a quick commercial break and be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finn here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Up for your listening, a pleasure. This is sometimes songs come through that we say, meh, I'll play them anyway. Lately, actually, to let you know, there have been songs that have come around that I've just gone, no, this is not getting on The Jewish Hour. Some of them, okay, you'll let it play, you'll listen, you know. But this one is going to be a monumental music feature for a long time. The song is called Macha Bracha, which means make a blessing before you eat or before you do something to thank God. And the artist is Shmuel Unger. You be the judge. Let me know.
Call you, may I'm a working. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
We do that because it's the month of Elul. We're preparing for Rosh Hashanah. We do that every day until the day before Rosh Hashanah. So we'll be doing that here on the Jewish Hour, if I can remember between now and then, every time. Up next, so we're doing a musical interlude. This is Shimmy Levy. The song is called Little Neshama, Little Soul.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Ki Tetzeh. It is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21 and following. There's about 70 mitzvahs. That's the whole portion. Do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this, like Simon says, right? There's an interesting commandment, which really maybe doesn't need to be said, but if it's said, then it needed to be said. And because we have this, the general rule is, if something is so obvious, it doesn't appear in the Torah. Like, for example, nowhere in the Torah does it say the sky is blue. You want to know the sky is blue? Look out the window. Look up. You'll see the sky is blue. You don't need to look in the book to say the sky is blue. Okay, so there's two commandments that follow basically in one right next to each other. And it says, Lo yiyeh kedesha, lo yiyeh kadesh b'bnei Yisrael. There shall not be someone who's referred to as a kedesha, which is a female, or a kadesh, which is a male. And the word is translated in the older translations as a harlot. But in the translation that I saw this week when I was doing preparation, it just said there should not be any promiscuous women or promiscuous men among the Jewish people. Now, this is one of those things which you would think would be sort of like an obvious statement. And meaning, so of course, I mean, the whole point of the bris milah, the circumcision that we do, is an indication that it's a covenant of the chasteness that we're going to have, that we're going to adhere to this monogamous relationship. So what is this commandment then doing here? Why is this not superfluous? Why does it need to be instructed? Well, obviously, there's a lot of people out there that you might refer to as like young and dumb, and they could be like 90 years old and still be young and dumb, that would think, well, there's literally nothing wrong. But the very basis of society, the very building block of society, the foundation, that which is going to ensure the continuity of our society, is the monogamous relationship. That people have relations only with the people that they're married to when they are married to them, to the exclusion of all else. And we see, looking back through the annals of history, when societies became lax in this, the societies crumbled. It happened in Egypt. It happened in Greece. It happened in Rome. Rome was such a massive empire. They were able to have control of basically the entire civilized world. Well, not including India and China, but they were also civilized. But they're doubled what the English Empire was. And what happened to it? Okay, so Rome wasn't built in a day, but it crumbled pretty quickly. From the famous, there was a book sitting on my mother's shelf like forever, which I never read, called The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. It was one of the classics. It was, I don't know, 900 pages long, and just the size of that, by the time when I was, you know, 13 years old, I'm not reading that. But it took a lot to build it up, because society does take a lot to build up, to establish who we are and what we are. But it's really easy to destroy it. And so comes the pasuk now. The verse says quite specifically, don't give any reasons, don't give any rationales. Just focus on being moral, right, and just, and then we can succeed. And this is done not on a grand magnanimous scale, the entire world. This is done one person. This commandment is said in the singular. You don't act promiscuously. And then if you're not, and the person next door is not, and the person next door to them is not, so then we'll have a successful, continuous society. We are going to take a quick commercial break and be right back with a really amazing story. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to rabbifinman.com. Contact me. I'll contact you. What else is on rabbifinman.com? Archived editions of the radio show. Last 2.5 years or so, you can binge listen to your heart's content. There's also archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story. There's also classes. There's also, this is before Rosh Hashanah, we got to think about this, donations page. The Jewish Hour is part of a large umbrella group, and there are many different pots, you might say, that feed this large umbrella group. And so by donating to the Jewish Hour, you're supporting not just the Jewish Hour, but many other worthwhile organizations and institutions that are under this very same umbrella organization. So go to rabbifinman.com, click on the donations page, make it a monthly donation. Even if it's $5 a month, that's great. That's $60 a year. Wonderful. Do it today because you're going to forget. I would forget. So rabbifinman.com. You could do it on your smartphone if you're in a secure area. It's all through PayPal, so that's secure from our end. It's just on your end. Make sure you're in a secure area. And feel good about that you've supported Jewish radio, which is ongoing now. We're in our 23rd year that we are doing this. Absolutely incredible. Who would have thought? Do it today. Okay, Hasidic story. There was a Lubavitcher rabbi who lived in Melbourne, Australia, who would come periodically to New York to visit the Rebbe and get new directions, new energy, new impetus. When he was about to leave, this is sometime the end of the 1960s, maybe early 1970s, the Rebbe told him, Yitzchak, his name was Yitzchak Groner, Yitzchak, on your way home to Australia, stop off in India. Wasn't as on his itinerary. He didn't know, listen, India is a subcontinent. It's a large place. The Rebbe says we do. So he added to his itinerary a stop off in Bombay, as it was called back then, and had no idea why he was there. But before he left, he said, listen, he went to a friend, his name was Zalman Khanan, who was in charge of publication of educational materials. And he said, listen, the Rebbe told me to go to Bombay. I don't know why I'm going. Do you have any material that you could give me I could take and just like leave there? He said, yeah, fine. So he went to Bombay. Didn't really find a whole lot, never really understood why he was there. He left the materials there. Sometime later, after the Rabbi Groner was already back in Australia, the Zalman Khanan received a letter. It was from a woman saying that she needed to find a rabbi in Bombay. What was the story? Her son, they were English, had run away. He was early 20s, and he ran away. They had no idea where he was. And one day they got a letter from him. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm sorry I ran away, but I've gone to Bombay, India. And I was lying on the beach. I'm assuming there's a beach in Bombay, as the story goes. And I was thinking, you know, I really made a terrible mistake, but I can't go back. And then suddenly a piece of paper blew past me with English writing on it. And I just like picked it up at random, this piece of paper. And it was this paper from the Lubavitcher Rebbe talking about Pesach Sheni, a minor holiday, that said, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, a Jew can always come home. And he wrote, Mom, Dad, I'm ready to come home. That's it. So why don't you come home? We're getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. That's also part of coming home. And thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance. We entertained you more than a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.